Listen, if you got any, you don't need no insurance, but if you'll give me 10%, I'll rub him out. And if you'll be real nice, I'll take 5. Hey, well, that was good, Porter. I appreciate that. Guys, I appreciate all you folks asking about my wife, and she's doing well. She's real weak, and she can't hardly go to save her life. The home health nurse comes in about every other day. In fact, she was there today. And they've taught me how to do the flush and the pick. And she's got a thing in her arm. Beth would probably know. But anyway, it's called a pick, P-I-C-C. It's in her arm. And it's to be there, I guess, to where they don't have to go back and do surgery if she has to have chemo. And then she's got an open wound on her left side that we have to change every day. But she has no appetite. She doesn't eat hardly anything at all. And my cooking, I go out a lot. I say, honey, what do you want? And she said, I believe I could some vegetable soup from Frisch's. So here I go. We're on a first name basis down there. She knows me my name now. And a cheeseburger. She won't hardly eat anything else. But I appreciate you asking about my wife. And I'm honored. I appreciate Brother Billy. And I'm glad I could get to come. And I'm sort of just going to stay home until after. Can you imagine? I can't hardly talk about it. I hate to even, in my mind, I hate to think about her having to go through chemo and radiation, getting sick and losing her hair. And I know that affects her mind. I know that. And it does me, because I don't want her to hurt like that. After 54 years of marriage, I hurt too, just like she does. I mean, I feel for her, and I don't like to see her do that. I wish you'd just pray the Lord would come and just let us go home. Wouldn't that be good? First Christmas in heaven. Glory to God, we'd have a time. Amen. Well, some of y'all look like you look out now. Hey, got your Bibles? Hold them up real high. Hold them up there. Thank God, right kind, it'll count. Now, be opening your Bible, please, to the book of Matthew in Matthew chapter 19. Let me ask you a question. Ready? Ready? Hope, what is Sunday? No, it's the Lord's Day, but what's Sunday? Christmas, right? All right, whose birthday is it? All right, now let me ask you a question. Whose birthday is it, supposing that we celebrate on December the 25th? Say it to me. All right, how come it is that we get gifts and he don't? Did y'all ever think about that? It's his birthday, but we get gifts. I've often wondered, my wife, she asked me one day, she said, and she comes up with some pretty good ones. She said, I wish you'd make me a great big cross. So I made her a great big cross, and we went and got a banner and put over it. And the thought was, we went to New Guinea, and we stayed there. We went 2 years in a row. That's a mission field. And what the natives do, I mean, a third world country, loincloths, bamboo huts, dirt floors. But guess what they do? Guess what they do? They bring gifts to the church in commemoration of the birth of our Lord. And they don't do it just one day out of the year. They do it every Lord's Day. They bring something to the house of God in memoration of his birth. They bring all kinds of cleaning stuff, brooms and mops and you name it. They bring it to the house of God on the Lord's Day for his birthday. They bring him gifts. And I thought, well, we do everything just opposite over here. We get gifts and he don't get nothing. I think that would be, if you think about it, it's his birthday, right? But yet we celebrate by giving each other our gifts. Something wrong with that. Say amen. How would you like to feel it be your birthday and you don't get nothing? Well, that's probably right, Brother Rick. Hey, but I love Christmas. I love the spirit of Christmas. I love it. Amen. Thank God. I know what you're talking about, girl, when you sing that song. I used to, and boy, I couldn't wait for Christmas morning. Do y'all remember that? Shoot, I'd run in there, boy, and jump up on top of the bed and holler and scream. Be 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. They about ready to kill me. But I'd love it. All right, Matthew, please, in chapter 19. I want to read, if you don't mind, in verses, let me read verse 22. The rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, he has came. Now, if you're going to read your Bible, I am all for studying your Bible. I'm all for it. I'm for the churches give out these things to read your Bible through in a year. If you ever got one in a church where you read your Bible through in a year, there's nothing wrong with that. But I'll tell you something better, and that is master a book. How many of you have, now I know y'all think I'm just going to be, I'm not trying to be unkind. How many of you have ever read your Bible through in a year's time? I don't know how many times, and I don't mean that bragging, but now how many of you ever got over to the book of 2 Chronicles, and it says, and he begat, 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 and she begat, and he begat. And by the time you get all the begetting over, you forgot what even it was about. How many of you ever done that? Amen. And you be honest. Yeah. All right, when you read the book of Genesis, you need to find out who, what, when, where, how, and why. Who wrote it? Why did he write it? What was the date that he wrote it? You ever been audited by the IRS? Who said that? Rick? Boy, that's a rough, ain't that a rough bullet to bite? I come home and I believe in paying taxes. I believe in the right moderation of taxes. But anyway, I had a CPA, a Christian CPA, when I went into evangelism 37 years ago. He's supposed to know what he was doing. He's in Cold Springs, Kentucky. I'd make my worksheet and just turn it over to him, and he'd say, you don't need this, you don't need that, you don't. Now, remember, he's supposed to be a Christian CPA. Got that? Man, I come home from revival meeting, and my wife said, there's a registered letter. I went out there and opened that letter, and it was from the IRS, and they audited me. I went into depression. They said I owed them $14,400 or something like that. I can't remember all of it. They wrote me the office letters you ever heard from a person in your life. They threatened to take my camper, that's what I lived in, my truck. You can't believe what all they just threatened me. Well, fortunately, there's a man came to my rescue, and he knew what he was doing, a CPA. He taught me who, what, when, where, how, and why. Now, if you can answer them questions, you don't have no problem with the IRS. Y'all look like you're just taking a dose of castor oil. If you can answer them who, what, when, where, how, and why, you won't have no problem with the IRS. Trust me. But he taught me that. I had to go back and dig all these records up. So the same way with the Bible. If you'll say who, what, when, where, how, and why. Why did Abraham, why did God write from, where did he write it from? The era of Chaldees. Why did he write it? You need to get this down in your mind, and when you do chronologically, it'll help you more than breathing air. And your Bible will just come alive. Now, but if you try to, and you ought to read it through. I mean, you ought to read so many chapters. I believe that. But that's a good thing to do, but better than that, master the book. Now, go to if you would, in Matthew chapter 19. Let's look together in verse 22. Now, back up to verse 21. Jesus said unto them, if thou wilt be perfect, go sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that, he saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 24, again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, now I want you to watch, they were exceedingly amazed and saying, who then can be saved? Question mark. Verse 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now watch this. Read your next verse and let's read it together. Ready? Look in verse 27. I love, of all the men in the Bible, I love Peter. You know why I love him? Is I can associate with him. My makeup is almost like Peter. And the Bible says, if you look in verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and follow thee. Now here it is. Read it with me. What shall we have therefore? In other words, what is this in? What is this? What is in it for me? That's basically what he's saying. This is what I thought. If I could get here tonight, this world, if you go out here and just, if you live any length of time at all, what is the one thing that motivates people? What's the one thing that motivates people?
Money.
Am I right? 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, we've got to have money in order to live. Will y'all agree with that? But I know of people, honestly, Brother Rick, that has got credit cards, and Hope, you better listen to me because I don't want you ever doing this. My grandson, and I single Hope out all the time. My grandson, Dylan, he won't get a, I told him a long time ago, I said, you don't need no credit card. Well, he asked me why, and I explained it to him. I said, Dylan, if you can afford to get a credit card and then pay it off every month, that'll be fine. But I said, it's a coy. It's a deception. People go get these credit cards, and then they pay almost 20% interest annually on credit cards, 1.5%. And so I know people that have got credit cards that are maxed out completely, and they live depressed, and they live all kinds of just means. They don't enjoy life because they're so depressed. They got to pay off all these bills. Right. Now, I told you I love Christmas. I love Christmas, but to go in debt $20,000 for Christmas, put it on a credit card, and I'll pay it off down the road. That's the mentality people's got. I'll pay it off down the road. And here's another thing that really eats at me. It really eats at me. Look in your Bible, back to verse 27, and who's doing the talking? Peter. In other words, what shall we have? Therefore, what's in it for me? Well, some people, they'll do almost anything in the world to climb the ladder of success. They'll do anything. They don't care who they step on. They don't care who they hurt. Amen, Brother Sisson. I believe with all of my heart that people, we all need each other. And everybody needs to feel special to somebody. That somebody cares. Amen, Brother Sisson. So here's what we do. We got the mindset, and we've been bought, we've swallowed this hook, line, and sinker. That if we dress a certain way, and if we drive a certain car, or if we live in a certain house, then we'll be accepted. Our young people have swallowed that thing. I don't shop a lot. I disdain shopping. You know what my idea of shopping? Go in there and get the thing and leave. Don't you do that, Hope. I mean, honestly, if I go in a store, if I go to Walmart or wherever, I just get what I have to go and leave. Now, my wife is not like that. I don't know why she does this. She'll say, Mel, let's go down to wherever, to Walmart. Let's just say, for instance. And we're going in the store, and we're just going in there and get 3 light bulbs, okay? Or whatever. And she'll say, get me a cart. She's got to have a cart. I said, why do you need a cart? For my purse. For my purse. Okay, now this is the way this goes. This is the way this goes. Somewhere down the road, I mean in that Walmart, Brother Porter, I have to push that cart. I mean, I'm pushing the cart, and she's walking, doing whatever she's doing. Now here's what annoys me. Invariably, I'll get one that's got a bad wheel. That eats me alive. Or guess what? We got 3 items or 4 items, and it says up there 10 items or less. That's the checkout lane. And when you get up there, there's a line 15 miles long. That's an exaggeration. And somebody will have 3 shopping carts full to go through the express lane. I don't shop a lot. You can tell that, don't you? But what I'm saying is, people, Christmas time, they'll burn themselves out to buy something that they can't even afford. Does that make good sense? I mean, does it make good sense? No. All right, look here. I am already accepted in the beloved. I'm already in the who's who. If you're saved, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Right. Hey, you're engraved in the palm of his hand. It doesn't, life does not consist of things to make you joyful. Does that make any sense? There's a man today, I was talking to him on the phone, and he's down in Albany, and he's got cancer. I mean, and listen, third stage cancer. And he told me, he said, Brother Sisson, said, I came to Somerset. And he's asked me how my wife was. Now, remember, he's got third stage cancer. He goes into a place of business up here, and he asked the man, he said, and he knew him pretty well, but he said, what's wrong? He said, I have got colon cancer. Well, Teddy told him, said, I've got third stage cancer, and he said, I'm taking chemo. And he assured the guy, he said, I want you to go pray about it, get the mind of the Lord, go take the chemo, and he said, fight the thing. He said, hey, be a fighter, amen. Now watch this. But the man's filthy rich. And the guy I'm talking about that's got cancer. He said, I never was so glad in my life. Teddy don't have nothing. I mean, he's dirt poor like myself. And here he's talking to a filthy rich man that's got all kinds of money. Money cannot buy you real joy and happiness. Right. It can't do it. So here's the man got colon cancer. Now guess what he done? He had to come back up here the next day, Teddy did, from Albany. That's a 45-minute drive. And he said his wife was sitting there, and she's his secretary, said, you'll never know how you helped Mike. Said he came home with a totally different attitude. That's what I'm trying to get. People need each other, and things, I do agree that things can bring you a temporal happiness. That's like going buying a brand new car. I've never owned a new car. I don't want a new car. Well, I will take it. But I don't necessarily, I'm not going to go out here and buy a car and pay $500 a month car payment. Right. Now this, oh, Mo, I done messed up the cloud, messed up the water, didn't it? It's me. All right, I can buy me a new car, but I don't want the payment. Now, does everybody understand that? Yeah. Do you understand that? Now, guess what? You go in there and buy a new car, a new truck, pull it off the parking lot, and guess what? Turn right around, change your mind, go back and say, I'm going to sell this back to you. He'll say that's a used vehicle. I've never done it. I'm not going to do it. Guess what I do? That old Buick out there has got 200 and almost 50,000 miles. I'll clean the thing up from top to bottom. I'll go buy me a new car spray and put it in there and spray it and just keep driving the thing. What do you think about that? And I don't have to have no payment every month. I can buy me a new truck, but I ain't buying me no truck. I don't want no five. I can do it, but then I'd be pressured. I'd be depressed trying to come up with $500 a month. Let me tell you what I done the other day, Greg. Let me tell you what I done the other day. Porter, listen to this. I went to the radio station, and I was coming out of the radio station, and this man said, are you Preacher Sisson anymore? I don't know whether to duck or get ready to fight or what. He said, I listened to you on the radio, and he said, I want you to know you don't look nothing like I thought you'd look. I've heard that. I've heard it 5 million times in my life. I've heard that. He said, I'm glad to meet you. He stuck out his hand like this. And he said, I want you to do something for me. I said, sir, if I can, I've never met him in my life. He said, I want you to go to Don Franklin Chevrolet. He said, is that on your way home? I said, well, it's not out of my way. He said, I want you to go to Don Franklin Chevrolet. Go in there and told me who it asked for. And he didn't tell me. He said, I want you to go in there and tell him you want to see this one-of-a-kind truck. I go in there. The guy comes out there, a real nice guy. I told him what I was doing. He said, oh, you want to see? He took me over there. And I want you to everybody look at my beady eyes. Look up here. I have a GMC $69,700 truck. I said, do what? He said, $69,000 plus. I said, is it got gold-plated wheels on it? What is it? I said, oh, come on out here. It's got one, I think it had 23 or 2,400 miles. I said, that's a used truck. He said, I don't care if it is used. He said, that's what it's going to take to buy it. Can you imagine buying a truck for $69,000? You've been smoking wacky weed. I told him, I said, there is no way $69,700 truck. And it used. I can just see myself going home and say, honey, I bought me a new truck. What'd you pay for it? $69,700. How many miles? I said, it's got 2,000 miles on it. Hey, Yeah. That is a little, yeah. Say amen. I'd be afraid to go to sleep. I'd probably cut my head off. But let me show you something. Let's go back. I want you to look in verse 27. What shall we have therefore? In other words, what's in it for me? Well, you ask people, you know, and I hope, Brother Greg, you make sure you take this. Because I don't want people to take out of context what I'm fixing to say. Some sorry preachers, all they're in it for is the money. Did I say that correctly? You go out here and try to find a church. Now, I know several churches without pastors. And almost invariably, it used to wasn't this way. Money is always going to be the subject matter. That should never enter into the equation, amen. That's right. Amen. Never. A man that puts a demand is a hireling. Let me say that again. He's a hireling. I believe churches ought to love their pastor. Amen, sister. Right. I believe they ought to take care of the man of God. Amen. But I'm saying a church is without a pastor, and a man demand, I want $150 expense. I want my dry cleaning taken care of. I want a new car every other year. I'd tell him so fast it'd make your head swim to hit the road. That's right. Oh, that's a good preaching system. Money. Would y'all let me just meddle about 2 seconds? Meddle? Lord, I don't know. This woman came to my house, and she hears me. It's not here in the county. It's in a different state. She hears me all the time on radio, and she is a registered, certified CPA. I mean, she has, I don't know how many offices she's got. She come and sat down in my living room in my house, and she is going over my taxes, and she looked over at me, and she said, "Preacher Sisson, aren't you tired of running up and down the roads?" I said, "Well, physically I get tired." And she said, "Well, why don't you consider pastoring?" I'm thinking, what are you doing asking me that? You know. She said, "I'm on the pulpit committee." I said, "You're what?"
"A what?"
Yeah, she said she is on the pulpit committee. Sometimes little horns pop up.
Right.
I said, "Ma'am, you're on a what?" She said, "We're on a pulpit committee, a search committee." And she went on, and before I could even say a word, here's what she said. "We pay our pastor $69,000 a year." Like that's going to influence me. And I'll be honest with you, that does impress a lot of people. Don't, hey, look up here. I thought $69,000? I'm computing, that's over $1,000 a week. Am I right? She said that they get a gas card and they get a car. I wonder how many preachers would preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, revival meetings if they didn't have a dollar involved in it.
Yes. Right.
Did I say that correctly? Greg, did I say that correctly? Because I want everybody to know what I just said. I'm not no harlot. But I'm just saying, what's in it for me? Most preachers, it's money. Now, I know you ain't going to take this very well. I hope you do. I am against this proselyting preachers from out of their churches.
Right.
Come in and say, "This is what we have to offer." I think that's pathetic.
That's
got nothing to do with the will of God.
Right.
But, I mean, there's men that'll do that. They'll come in and proselyte them. I had men that's offered me everything under God's green earth, and I don't feel like I'm nothing. What one church down in Florida, they offered me and said, "Now, Preacher Sisson, don't you bring nothing down here. You just move in and we'll furnish it." Ain't that pitiful? And when I told them God wasn't in that, and I'm in the will of God and evangelism, they got angry at me because I wouldn't even consider it. Oh, ain't that pitiful? The guy that's a vice president of the bank, he said, "We'll give you that car I'm driving." Like, okay. Listen, I'm trying to get you to see that money, materialism, prestige, popularity should never be in the thing. Now let's go back. I want to show you this. Now stay with me, please. Look at your Bible. I believe this. If you look back and watch this, Jesus said this. Now watch it. I want you to watch what he said. He says, "And you'll have great possessions." Talking about that rich young ruler. I understand there is severity of judgment in hell, but there's rewards in heaven. Did you know if you go through your Bible, there's five different crowns in the Word of God? Now, you can't have all of them, but there's some of them that you can have. One of them, that crown of life in James chapter 1 and verse 12. And the crown of glory, 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. And then there's the crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. There's the crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Then there's a crown that's incorruptible, and that is in the book of Revelation. Now, I want you to watch. Flip over right quick. Have you ever wondered what you do with a crown? Do you ever think what you're going to do with them? Thank you, Brother Porter. Look in your Bible in the book of Revelations. I want you to watch this. Now, everybody's answering me correctly. You say, well, we're going to give them to Jesus. Now, I want you to look in Revelations. Now, I want you to write this down. I believe it's in chapter 4. Look in your Bible and put it, just make a little note of it. Revelation chapter 4, and look in your Bible, please. Look in verse 10. And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and they cast their crowns, C-R-O-W-N-S, it's in the plural, they cast their crowns down before the throne, saying, now look at me for a moment. Rick, would this not be awful? Wouldn't this not be awful? All right, the rapture occurs, right? And we go right into the presence of God. But wouldn't it be awful after the judgment seat of Christ not have a crown to lay at his feet? Wouldn't that be awful?
Amen.
I'm not working for salvation. I know I'm saved going to heaven, but I sure would like to have a crown to lay at the feet of the Son of God. Amen.
That's right.
Well, let me show you the second thing. What time is it? 7 o'clock. Amen. Look back, if you would, in Matthew chapter 19. I believe this with all my heart. One day, thank God, we're going to rule and reign with Christ. There's going to come the marriage supper of the Lamb, but then they cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus. Now, go back to Matthew chapter 19. Look what Peter said. What shall we have therefore? In other words, what's in it for me? Rewards, amen. We ought to feed the sheep and be faithful and be loyal to him that who loved us, amen.
Right.
Now, the second thing, look at it. What shall we have therefore? And that is helping others. Brother Sisson, boy, so many people have been so good to me. Could I ask you a question? Why are you even here? All right, if God saved you to take you to heaven, then why did he not take you the moment he saved you? You're the only hands, you're the only mouthpiece, you're the only feet the Lord Jesus has.
Right.
I love helping people. I honestly, that's what I live for. But let me show you this thing about the rewards in heaven. But then guess what? Look in your Bible. What shall we have therefore? Helping others. That ought to be a motivating force in our life. How many of you ever heard this? We was talking about it today. An idle mind is a what? What? Say it again. Let's get Baptist for a while. An idle mind is a what? The
devil's workshop.
It's not biblical, but it's true. You get a lot of idle time. Am I correct? You'll think things that you never thought before. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. Nobody appreciates me. Amen, Brother Simpson.
Right.
Nobody understands me. Nobody cares, gives a rip whether I live or die. What I'm saying is it's not biblical as per se. In the book of Proverbs in chapter 23, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Mm-hmm. All right, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. But I'm talking about helping out. If people would get busy in the service of the Lord, they wouldn't be so depressed.
Amen.
Let me tell you what. Anybody outside me have ever been depressed? I'm not looking. I got both hands. I never will forget one time. I come in and I was driving a 78 Oldsmobile. And it was a diesel. And I love that old car. I drove that thing. And the pump on the thing had tore up. Everything, it seemed, did you ever have a week or a day or did it seem like everything just fell in? Well, it just kept piling it on me. And we was trying to, we lived in that camper. We parked it down at Nancy. And my kids and three kids and myself and my wife, we lived in that camper, a 35-foot fifth wheel. So we was trying to build us a house. Put everything we had in storage when I went into evangelism. Everything we had, put it in storage in a big old second-story building in Owenton, Ohio, Owenton, Kentucky. And it was just ruining my furniture. Well, Nathan was going to school and going to Celine, and I was trying to build a house, and everything falling in on me, and my Oldsmobile tore up. Everything was falling apart. Did y'all ever have one of them just bad days? Let me tell you what I done. How many of y'all ever heard of Mays Jackson? The preacher, Mays Jackson. You ever heard of him? Boy, he's a great preacher. I mean a great preacher. He had what's called the truck driver special for years and years and years. I love Mays. I preached with him for years down in North Carolina. Mays had a thing about him that just, he was on the radio. I was coming home listening to him. Here's what he said. Some of y'all depressed. Are you listening? I said, I'm paying attention, Mays. He said, stop the car. Stop the car. You don't want to go home the way you are. I thought, dear God, he's in the car with me. Listen to this. He said, stop the car, open all the doors, and tell the devil to get out of your car. Yeah. I thought, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. He said, are you listening to me? I thought, Mays, I'm paying attention to you. He said, stop the car, open the doors, tell the devil to get out of your car. So I just stopped, open all four doors. This red light, this policeman pulled up behind me, said, are you having trouble? You try explaining that to a policeman. Explain it to him what you're doing. I said, no, everything's all right. So I shut the doors, got back in my car, come home, still that kind of a, I wished I'd have done what Mays had told me. But how many of you have ever come to the altar with all your burdens and got up with the burdens that you came to the altar with? We've all done that sometime or another. So that's what I done. Everything was falling in on me. Everything was falling in on me. Nathan, my son that got killed, he was just a little boy. So I got him in the car. He and I went to Somerset. And we had to go visit these ladies in the nursing home, a lady in our church that was just a real nice lady, and she was dying. So I went to the florist, and I got me some carnations. They wasn't the best in the world. They sort of not, they wasn't wilted, but I mean they wasn't the best in the world. I got me, lady, an arm full of them carnations. And me and Nathan went over to that nursing home, and I'd give him one. He'd take that and give it to one of them elderly ladies. We'd go to the next room, and everybody that's sitting in the halls, we'd give them a carnation. Guess what? It wasn't too far down that road, boy, I got out of that dump I was in. Amen. If you look around, you see somebody that's got it far worse than you got it. Right. Amen. So helping others, it'll help you, but most people don't look at it like that. They say, what's in it for me? But I mean helping others. My mother, my mom's been dead since 73. My mom, when we was at boys at home, our neighbors, have y'all ever had this happen to you? Be a knock at the door, and this woman would say, our neighbor, she'd say, Lib, can I borrow a cup of sugar? My mama would look at me and say, go get her a cup of sugar. But I noticed she never, ever brought the sugar back. And my mama would, every time she'd come, she'd say, go get whatever she wanted. She'd just say, go get it for her. 3 eggs to make a cake, you know, a cup of sugar, whatever she wanted. Amen, Brother Sisson. The older people just had this mindset of helping others, amen. Right. It ought to be the motivating force in your life. You ought to get up in the morning and say, God, how can I help somebody today? Right. Amen, Brother Sisson. Beth, I know you're a nurse. Did I tell y'all Sunday about the lady? I don't think I did, but I'm going to. It was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And this woman was sitting at the nurse's station, and she had been taking real good care of my wife. And I looked, she had her head down like this, sitting at the desk. And I said, are you all right? And she looked up at me and tears were just running down her face. I mean, literally streaming down her face. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. She said, my floor supervisor, she said, this has been the worst day I've ever had in my life. All right, now listen. She's talking about everything at home and her husband and then the floor supervisor getting on her case, telling her this wasn't right, this wasn't right. And I mean, I'm not talking about a little few tears. Son, that woman was crying, weeping. Well, I told her that God had a bottle for her tears, amen. And that God, every hair on her head was numbered.
Amen.
Well, I prayed together, said she's saved, love the Lord. But what I'm saying is, she told me later on, she said, you'll never know how that helped me. Well, we all need that sometime or another. Just say amen. Right. We all need that, amen. Just helping you. I don't know why we all got these barriers up and won't help people. Afraid to get involved with them. Amen, brother, sister. Afraid to get involved. Helping others ought to be a motivating force. Not so much maybe something else. I mean, a driving force, a stimulating. I mean, you'll never be the same if you ever be an instrument just winning one person to the Lord. I'll tell you what I want you to do tomorrow. Or not, let's see, what we got, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right? Right? Now I know, how many of you have ever been used and you don't feel like being used again? That kind of, if you be honest, we've all got. Now I'll help them people up there that's standing up on that four-way stop at Walmart. Okay. Especially a veteran. You know, they're standing out there. I seen the other day a woman sitting in a wheelchair. And this boy standing beside her had I know a lot of them's con artists. They are. A lot of them's con artists. She had a sign up that said, need help in a wheelchair. All right, now watch me. If you help that individual and their motive is wrong, will not God bless you for it? Will not God bless you for it? So what I want you to do between now and Sunday, find somebody just to help and watch how that helps you. Does everybody understand what I just said? Yeah. Find somebody to help and you watch how that helps you. You'll feel yourself getting out of the dumps and hey, you'll say, Brother Sisson, it works, amen. What's in it for me? Helping others, amen. Let me show you something else. Now go look in Matthew chapter 19. The devil will come to your place of service, and I've been around quite a bit. He'll say, boy, you ain't doing nothing, amount to nothing. Nobody cares whether you live or die. You're just filling up space. Here's what helps me. Over 7 billion people upon this mudball planet, and God knows me by name.
Right. Good.
Buddy, that helps me. Amen. What can happen to me? My time is limited. I know I'm going to jail. That sorry preacher of mine, guess what he done? We was having this meeting and he was talking about going to jail. He said, I hope they don't put me and you in the same cell. I said, I do. But ain't that pitiful? He ain't never been in jail in his life. But I'm just saying my time is limited. But what I'm saying is nothing can happen to us without the knowledge of God. How many of you seen the news tonight? Donald Trump. How many of you heard what he said about Christmas? Am I the only one? He said, no more of this happy holiday stuff. He said, it's Merry Christmas, amen. Amen. I like that. And here's what he said. He's talking about Muslims. He said, it's a crime against humanity, amen.
Right.
A crime against humanity. And he's talking about securing the borders. Brother, we better secure the borders.
Amen.
But let me tell you something else he said this afternoon. He's talking about securing the borders, talking about crime. And he said, Christians are killed all over the European continent and nothing's being done about it.
That's right.
Did you hear what I said? How do y'all know that that's not going to be here in 2017? That's the reason why, boy, we need each other. Could I tell you something? If you got any confidence in all, I want you to listen. You know what I do to Brother Billy Miller? Do you know what I do to every God-called preacher? Ever God called pastor, I would discourage them. That's the tool he uses. You're ineffective. Nobody's listening. They've heard that before. That's the reason why I thank with all my heart, boy, if you got a God called preacher, you ought to thank God for him. Amen.
Right.
Because they're getting rare and far and in between.
That's right.
Say amen, brother, sister. And his wife, and his family. I believe y'all. And not only that, I believe a God-called pastor will love his people.
Right.
Love his people. I believe he gets in the ditch, y'all be willing to get in the ditch with him. If you get in the ditch, y'all be willing to get in the ditch with you.
Right.
Oh, right. Go back to Matthew 19. I mean, the rewards in heaven, thank God, and then helping others. I'll tell you another thing, motivating thing. What's in it for me? I believe this. I'll die believing this. Your love for the Savior ought to be why you do what you do.
Right.
That's like Porter playing the piano. I believe that you ought to use them talent for the glory of God, but But then I believe you ought to, whatever you do, you ought to do it because you love the Lord. If you play a guitar, play a juice harp, do it because you love the Lord. Amen, sister. Hey, if you vacuum the floor, do it because you love the Lord. You clean up the church building, pick up the pew, whatever you do, do it because you love the Lord. How many of y'all remember in Matthew 24, it says the love of many has waxed cold. Talking about the Christians before he comes. How about the book of Revelation? The love of many has waxed cold. And guess what? When that happens in your life and they've left their first love, when that happens, I don't want to be like Peter. Do you remember Jesus turning to Peter and says, Peter, lovest thou me? You see, if you love him, that's the key. That's the key that unlocks the door. That's the, ought to be the driving force in your life. Amen, sister. I know my time is limited. 70. I'm 72. God's been good to me. Amen. Yes. But I'm seeing them words ring in my ears. Lovest thou me more than these? Yes. Let me show you what I mean. For paying your sin debt. Okay, Rick, let me ask you a question. Let's just say you're sitting in jail. Ready? No, I'll give you a better illustration. This man and woman was in Louisville, Kentucky, and she had this terrible, debilitating disease destroying her body. This woman did. And they hadn't been married very long. There's a rich businessman in this church told the preacher, I've really got a burden for that young couple. Said, let's me and you go over there and see if we can't help them. Now, I want you to listen to this. They go over there, and they talk, and they get ready to have prayer, and the businessman said, I want to help you. Said, just gather up all your bills and bring them to me. Well, they was reluctant to do that. So finally, they consented to do it, and he said, no, I want you to bring me all your bills. I want you to bring me your car, your house, how much you owe in your house, how much you owe in your car, everything. Said, I'm going to pay it all off for you. They said he wrote them a check, boy, and said they rejoiced in that, paid your house off, paid everything off. Would you ever forget that man's name? I'd never forget his name. Here, God, if you said, hey, I mean, Billy Miller, I'd, whoa, glory to God, every time I'd have a spell. Everybody knows I build cars. I was down in Rome, Georgia, preaching. And I was talking about how you take an old car and you build that car from the ground up. And I was talking about a 55 Chevrolet, 56, 57, what they was worth back then, what they are now. Some of them are worth over 100 grand. And this man and his wife come up to me after the services and said, preacher, said, boy, we just felt led. We're going to get you a 57 Chevrolet. You talk about a happy camper, boy. I was a happy camper, amen. She went on to tell me, she said, it's that real pretty aqua color. Said it's got a white top, got plastic on the seats. I couldn't sleep at night. They kept their promise, brought it to me the next day. It's a little about that big. I've still got it in my desk. But ever see, I can tell you that, and the first thing I do, I remember it. I remember their names. What if that thing had been a real 57 Chevrolet? I never would have forgotten, amen. That's the same with the Lord Jesus. He paid our debt.
Yes, amen.
Paid our debt, and yet people just forget him. I'm winding down. I can't believe how that people's hearts have waxed so cold.
That's right.
I go into churches and here's what's the first thing. Preacher, there won't be nobody here Sunday night. I don't believe that should be an issue. I believe if you really love the Lord, I believe you're going to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day.
That's right.
I don't believe you should have to be begged to come. Rick, would you please come? I don't believe that. I don't believe a word of that. It's a matter of the heart.
That's right.
I don't want to be one of them that the love of many has waxed cold.
Right.
Boy, I sure would like for the Lord to say, Mel, you run your race, finished your course, stayed the course. I don't want to hear them words, lovest thou me. What's in it for me? Now, let me ask you, what's in it for you? Man, I was wicked, ungodly, and God. Man called me today. I got off the radio and he said, Preacher Sisson? I said, yes, sir. He said, "You don't know me." I said, "No, sir." He said, "I've been listening to you on the radio." He said, "I've heard you several times." He said, "I've heard your testimony." He said, "Was you that wicked?" I said, "Probably worse than that." Then here's what I did. I said, "But Jesus loved me from the foundation of the world. Now I'm just trying to repay my love debt for him." Hey, let's stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. What's in it for me, Brother Sisson? Well, I believe you ought to want to have a crown to lay at his feet. You come, Brother Porter. I believe you ought to want to help others. Then I believe your love for him ought to be what, that's what's in it for me. Hey, tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, thank you so much for being in the house of God. And you'd say, "Brother Sisson, I don't want ever my love to wax cold." Would you slip your hand up? I mean, I've got both hands raised. I don't want my love to wax cold.